It is so good to see those of you that are out this evening. I know these are unusual times with people wanting us to be quarantined. But I thank you for coming out and being here tonight. And I'm really especially glad that y'all are videoing these sermons so that they can be viewed by others, hopefully several times. Because the information I'm trying to give you in these sermons is vitally important information on how to live the Christian life and how to make it to heaven. Our sermon tonight is going to be a study from the scriptures on how to be basically a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And by the way, thank you for the songs, Tony. They went very well with the sermon. We're going to start our sermon here this evening by going over to Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Those who are keeping the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, brethren, that's the church. That's us. That's you and me. And the text here tells us about how the dragon Satan is going to make war against us. We were born into a world at war. And the war we're talking about is a spiritual war. The war between God and Satan. The battleground of this war is our hearts, our minds. And the spoils of the war is our soul's eternal destiny. Now you can say, I don't believe this is true. Well, then the enemy's got you. One of the main things we need to realize is that this war is real, that Satan is real. And his intention is to attack us and destroy us and to destroy our soul. Continuing with this over in Ephesians, in chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, think about this. We're talking about someone who's not flesh and blood. We're talking about a spiritual being, the highest spiritual being there is in the spiritual realm other than God. And we're talking about a being who is making war against us. Now, how on earth are we going to fight such a being and win such a war? When you go over to 2 Timothy, it says here, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. And so here the scriptures speak of us as being soldiers of Jesus Christ, involved in a spiritual war and fighting against a spiritual enemy. How do you fight against a spiritual enemy? The verse over here in James 4 says, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, how do you do that? How do you resist a spiritual being stronger than me? A spiritual being in high places. A spiritual being whose intention is to destroy me, to destroy my soul for eternity in hell. How do I fight this spiritual warfare? That is what we're going to be studying here this evening. As I told you, this sermon is important for every single Christian who will ever be alive. Because you need to learn how to fight the battle. We keep losing the battles. Now you just think about your own life right now. Just examine your own life as a Christian. How many battles are you losing? Okay. The reality is we lose battles sometimes. But we must not lose the war. Because the spoils of this war again is our soul's eternal destiny. So how can I fight my spiritual battles to where rather than losing to the enemy, I hold my ground, I resist, and I stand in the evil day? The first thing I want to talk with you about is knowing yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Examine yourself. This is the very first step to being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Testing yourselves, seeing where you really are spiritually. We all have spiritual weakness. We all have spiritual flaws. We all have areas where we are struggling. The worst thing we can do is lie to ourselves and tell ourselves everything's fine, everything's okay, I ain't got any problems here, I'm doing a good job, when in reality we're losing battles. Every single one of us here are losing battles at different times. We need to recognize where we are struggling, where we are losing the battle. For some reason, I like studying military warfare. I can't explain it. But I like studying military strategy. And one of the things in military strategy is you need to face up to the reality of where you are with your army. You're trying to find out where your weaknesses are. Because it's an understanding reality that your enemy is going to attack you where you're weak. And so you need to recognize where your weaknesses are, because that's where you put special effort, extra effort at shoring up your defenses. Half the day I've been studying about the Battle of Carchemish. And you got to understand where you're weak. You got to understand the reality of you. What was it Shakespeare said? Above all things, my son, to thine own self be true. Be honest with yourself. You are never going to grow spiritually until you face up to the truth of the reality of where you are in your spiritual struggles. Another verse on this is over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. This is written to an evangelist. And that's what I am, an evangelist. By the way, he says the same thing to elders over in Acts. And that is, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now, I want all of you to make it to heaven. But I want to make it too. And so the very first thing I need to do as an evangelist after I'm preaching to you, I need to listen to these scriptures myself. I need to listen to the Word of God myself. And I need to do as the scripture says here, take heed to yourself. That is, watch yourself. Look at yourself. See the reality of where you are in regard to these scriptures and deal with it. You don't just go, well, I got a problem here, and then not deal with it. You examine yourself, you test yourself, you take heed to yourself, and where you see the reality of where you are, then that's where you really start working hard to start putting up your defenses so that you can stand in the evil day. If you recognize a weakness is there and you don't deal with it, you're just going to keep losing that battle over and over and over. Until you finally face up to the fact you're losing the battle over and over and over. You have a weakness and this is where it is. And then start working on the weakness. You got to know your enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now you think about this. Satan has techniques that he uses in tempting us. Techniques that he uses in his attack against us. The good news is this. He hadn't come up with anything new. He's been using the same techniques since the Garden of Eden. Okay? And so the text says we're not ignorant of his devices. That means we should know our enemy. First, you got to know yourself, and second, you got to know your enemy. You got to know what your enemy's going to do before he does it. Because if you know what your enemy is going to do, you know how he's going to attack you, then again, you are better able to get your defenses ready for the attack of the enemy. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 lays it out very succinctly. For all this is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Those are the three avenues through which Satan attacks every single one of us. He is going to attack you through the lust of the flesh, your sexual drives and desires, through your hunger, through your desire to drink, the natural physical desires of the body. He is going to try to attack you through these natural drives of the body to fulfill them in a way in which God never intended for them to be fulfilled. He's going to attack you through the lust of the eyes. And that is, hey, look at this thing. Isn't it pretty? Isn't it nice? You can have it. It's just going to take you compromising your relationship with God. But you can have this thing called materialism, the love of money, greed, covetousness, pick a name. They're all describing the same concept. And then the third one is the pride of life. And the pride of life is, I want to do this. I understand what the Word of God says, but I like this. And I want to do this. You say, do this, God. I want to do this. I'm going to do what I want to do. You need to understand that the heart of all sin is the pride of life. To where I'm going to go the way I want to go. I'm not going to do what you say do. I'm not going to obey. I'm going to go my way. These are the three avenues that the enemy has attacked us, will attack us, and is attacking us. It is a continual process. There's nothing new. And so again, we've all lost battles in all three of these areas. And all of us have weaknesses where we struggle the most. In Ephesians chapter 4, 26 to 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Satan knows about human emotions. And emotions, oh, they can be moments where you find yourself losing it. Normally, we don't say and do things as Christians that are cruel or mean or destructive. But let us lose our temper. Let us become angry. And all of a sudden, we lose our actions and our tongue and we say things and we do things that are cruel and outrageous. When we're losing control of our temper. You think Satan knows this about us? Yes, that's what the verse says, being angry, do not sin. Do not give place to the devil. Satan understands this, and so when you recognize the emotion is there, if he can rile you up and get you angry, in your anger, he can get you to sin. He attacks us through our emotions. I got a whole sermon on this. Through our fear, through our sorrow, through our grief, through our anger, even through our guilt. He will attack us through our emotions. And in our emotional state, get us to go into sin. The idea is not giving place to the devil, is realizing he's trying to get in here. He's trying to come through here. Don't let him in. Sin lies at the door. Don't let it in. And when you're struggling with your emotions and you're angry, I'm going to tell you this. What's the best thing to say when you're angry? You know the answer? Nothing. You know why? James 1:20. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It's not on the outline. But the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In your anger, you're not going to say something wonderful and kind. What's the best thing to do when you're angry? Nothing. I used to tell people to get in the car and drive around. Don't do that. You might kill somebody. Road rage. No, don't do that. Go walking sometimes. If you see me walking in the woods, don't approach me. I don't hunt. I'm trying to calm down. Break away from the situation because I understand in these emotional state of mind, the enemy is going to attack us. That is one of his main avenues. And the sooner we recognize that about ourselves and how he's attacking us to get us to sin, the better we can start working on the defenses. The next verse here is Matthew 4, 2 through 3. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now then, do you think Satan knew he was hungry? Well, of course he did. Why did he hit him here, and this is important, first? Why did he hit our captain here at this situation first? Because he understood he wasn't hungry, he was hungry! He hadn't eaten for 40 days. He was hungry like we ain't ever even thought about being hungry. And Satan knew it. This is important for us to learn about ourselves. He knows where you are weak. He knows where you have lost the battles in the past. And since He knows where you are weak, and He knows where you have lost the battles in the past, you can mark it on the wall. He's going to come back there again and again and again. When is He going to stop coming back there? I can tell you when Satan is going to stop hitting you in your primary weakness, when you're dead. He's not going to let up. As long as He's going to have opportunity to attack you, He's not going to let up. He knows where you've lost, and He's coming back. That is why we've got to know ourselves. We've got to face the reality of what our weaknesses really are, where we are losing the battles, and then give it all diligence to start putting up the defenses. To where when He does come back, and we know that He is, it's not will He, it's when. We're ready. We're ready for the battle. We're ready to resist. Not only do we need to know our enemy, we need to know our allies. This next verse is not on your outline, so you might want to add it. Our primary ally is God. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Without God, there ain't no way we can do it. There's no way. Without God, there's absolutely no way we can defend ourselves against Satan. So your primary ally is God, who Satan is going to do the very best he can to keep you from turning to in your time of attack, is God. He wants you isolated and alone. And the last thing he wants you to do is calling on God for help. And sometimes, folks, in the middle of the battle, that's about all you can get out is help. The last thing Satan wants you to do, he doesn't want you going to God. Because you know with God beside you, God strengthening you, God helping you, and you being strong in the Lord and the power of His might, we can resist Him. But me away, little Wayne Fancher, me by myself, I hadn't got a chance. Nothing. I cannot fight. I cannot defend myself without God. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we're going to learn how to fight. When we're in the middle of the battle, that's when we cry out to God for help. That's when we turn to God. That's when we focus our mind on God. Now then, let's go to the next part of it. Ecclesiastes. I saw the E. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. This is one of my favorite verses from Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? The woman be overpowered by another, two can withstand, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. What this verse is teaching is a very simple principle. There is strength in numbers. What Satan wants us to do and wants us to be is this. He wants us to be solitary soldiers isolated out there all by ourselves with no one around. And quite frankly, brethren, this is one of the main problems I find in the army of Christ today. It's soldiers of Christ who are isolated and alone, and they're solitary soldiers and they're not crying out for help. We try to deal with our spiritual battles all by ourself. And therein lies the problem. We keep telling ourselves, I'll work this out on my own. I can handle this on my own. I don't need to let my brethren know where I really am. What would they think if they knew the struggles I was having? You need to realize, brethren, that's exactly what Satan wants you to be thinking. He wants you to keep thinking that you cannot open up to anybody else around you. That all the other brethren here, we've got it all under control. We're all doing great. You're the only one struggling. Really? You really think that's the way it is? If you do, he's really got you good and well deceived. Because that's not reality. We all sin, brethren. Every one of us. And one of the biggest mistakes we make is we stay alone. Look at verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another. Do you think Satan knows that? He wants you alone. Two can withstand. Find somebody you can let in where you really are spiritually. Let me look at a couple of more verses on this. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another tomorrow, every now and then. No, that's not what the scripture says, is it? Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, the point I'm trying to make, brethren, is this. We desperately need each other. We desperately need each other to help one another fight our spiritual battles against this enemy. As long as we remain solitary soldiers fighting against Satan, we're going to continue to lose the battles because we are alone. There is strength in numbers. If two are better than one, guess what? Three is better than two. And four is better than three. Just keep it going. The point I'm trying to make is, find, brethren, you can let in where you really are. Where you really are. Look at this next verse. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, if you approach people and you ask them how they're doing health-wise, sometimes they'll tell you more than you want to know. You're like, okay, I got it. You're sick. You can approach a stranger you hardly even know and ask them how they're doing emotionally, and they'll pour their heart out to you. I've had total strangers on airplanes tell me everything about all the struggles they're going through. That's pretty much how we human beings are. We'll talk about our physical trials. We'll talk about our emotional struggles. But if you come up to a Christian and say, how are you doing spiritually? I'm fine. I'm fine. You know what that is? I'm fine. Don't get too close. I'm fine. Don't ask me. I'm not going to tell you. I'll handle it by myself. I don't want you to know. You're a preacher. You can look down on me. Think less of me. I'll be embarrassed. You know, I open meetings sometimes with parables of the prodigal son. You ever thought about that? You ever wonder why a preacher would drag his skeletons out of the closet? I'm a preacher. Why are you dragging your skeletons out of the closet and parading them in front of brethren? I'll be honest with you. I am so ashamed of my past. I don't like talking about it. Then why do it? I'm trying to pop the bubble that Satan has got people thinking that everybody else is doing fine and I'm the one struggling. Then you won't understand what's going on with me. Because you've never been there. You're a preacher. You've always been under control. When people come to me and they finally let down the barriers and say, Wayne, this is where I really am. What they hear from me is, yeah, I've lost those battles too. You pick any area. Lust of the flesh, lost it. Lust of the eyes, lost it. Pride of life, lost it. Anger, lost it. Fear, lost it. Lost them all. This is what I say to addicts when I work with them. I will never look down on you. I'll look you eye to eye as a fellow sinner. Now, why do I tell them that? Because Satan is trying to keep us alone. He wants us isolated. He doesn't want anybody in the trenches beside us helping us fight our battles. And what I'm trying to do is break down this barrier that's out there in the brotherhood. This is one of the biggest problems. And that is solitary soldiers who will never let anybody in. Stop it! Stop it! You're only hurting yourself and you're helping the enemy. Find someone you can let in to where you really are. Someone that you can bear your soul to and say, I'm struggling. This is where I am. See, confess your faults one to another. You're letting each other in, and then you're praying for one another, and then you're checking up on one another, and you've got somebody beside you helping you fight the battle. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this. If we're going to start resisting, it's time for us to start acting like an army that's actually working together in reality. That we do sin and that we do have struggles, and none of us are perfect. That's the reality of it. And find people that we can let in. And by the way, when people finally let me in, you know when it's happening. You know, they don't talk about the weather. They don't talk about things in politics. It's sort of like we're alone and Wayne, can I talk to you? Yes, that's when you're quiet. And you let them talk till they're finished. Because you are allowed one of the great honors. You need to realize when someone lets you in, you are being honored. You are being trusted to be let into their most intimate part of their life that they're the most ashamed about. You treat it with honor. You treat it with respect. And then you get beside them in the trench, fighting their spiritual battles with them. Because when you let me in, I let you in. It's a one another thing, you see. Two are better than one. One can be easily overcome. Two can withstand. And three is even stronger. A threefold cord, last part of the verse, cannot be easily broken. How about four then? Why don't we just have an army? You see how this works? You got God beside you. You got your captain, Jesus Christ, in front of you. And you're surrounded by an army of fellow soldiers. We can resist. But when we are isolated and we stay alone, we're easy pickings. Now, you just be real before I leave this part. In physical military battle, as I said, I've been reading about warfare half the day. Imagine you would. You're sitting here and you got your army and there's one soldier over here all by himself. You're going to say, go kill him. He's alone, idiot. What is he doing over there alone? Kill him. You don't do that. You hang tight. You get close as an army and you work as a unit. We understand that in military warfare. Well, why don't we start understanding that in spiritual warfare? That we need to function as a unit. As an army. Standing together. All right. That's enough on that. If you wonder why I harp on it, it's because so many brethren don't do it. All right, the next part of the sermon is you got to know your weapons. You know yourself, you know your enemy, you know your allies. And the last part of the sermon, you got to know your weapons and how to use them. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Wow, what a verse. What a scripture. Now, then, brethren, you see this verse here, stronghold? You have a stronghold. Do you know what a stronghold is? Again, I've been reading these verses all day. You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is usually a tower. And it's rare, real thick brick or stone. And they may conquer a large portion of the city, but you got the stronghold. And you can hold up in that stronghold, and you can hang out in it and survive for a long time. And even though they may have the entire city, in the middle of the night, you would come running out, and you kill a bunch of soldiers, and you run back in. Because the enemy's still there. Even though you may have captured the city, if you ain't got the stronghold, they can still hurt you really bad. Because when you think you're doing fine, that's when they're going to come out and attack and then go back in. And so you really don't have the enemy defeated until you tear down the stronghold. Now I'm telling you this because you've got to recognize this about ourselves. All of us have a stronghold of Satan in our heart. He understands that. There's a part of your heart and your life where the enemy is. And you may be thinking, oh, I've done good on this for so long. I got this under control. And boom! He comes busting out again. You say, where'd that come from? I thought I was doing good there. And here I am losing the battle again. That's because the stronghold's still there. This is trying to teach you how to pull it down. We can pull it down and destroy the stronghold that the enemy has in our heart and mind. How do you do that? With the weapons God has given us. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. You're not going to attack Satan with a knife or a gun or an atomic bomb or a missile. He's a spiritual enemy. The only way you can defeat a spiritual enemy is with a spiritual weapon that has been given to us by God. Now let that sink in. Remember these phrases here. It talks about the weapons of our warfare, how they look at this word right here. Mighty. The weapons that God has given us, they're mighty. Now that being said, let's go to the next verse. We read this earlier. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You remember the last verse, mighty? Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How are we going to be strong in the Lord and the power of God's might? By putting on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's one of the best verses in the entire subject right there in verse 10. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. And by putting on the whole armor of God, this is how you are strong in the Lord. This is how you are mighty. So that you can resist and stand against the wiles and the attacks of Satan. And so let's go into this now. Starting here now in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay. Now then, I want you to look here at verse 17. The reason I want you to look at this is because this is so important. The sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. What is the common denominator between all these parts of the armor of God? What is the common denominator between truth and righteousness and the gospel of peace and faith? What's the common denominator? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is what produces faith. The Word of God, when it is practiced, is what righteousness is. And righteousness, when it is completed, leads to your salvation. The common denominator is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. I cannot overemphasize that you recognize the power of the Word of God in our lives as soldiers of Christ. Now let's go back to Matthew. Remember we read that earlier about the temptation of Satan against our captain, Jesus Christ? How did Jesus defend himself in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is God in the flesh. This is the Son of God Himself. This is our captain, Jesus the Christ. When He is attacked by the enemy, how does our captain defend Himself? He pulled the sword from the sheath, brethren. And he said, "It is written." And then he pulls out the scriptures. Listen, brethren, we need to learn to do the same thing. I told you earlier, it is so important that we know ourselves, that we test ourselves, that we examine ourselves, that we take heed to ourselves, and know the reality of our spiritual weaknesses. Matter of fact, sometimes this is what I encourage brethren to do, so I'm going to tell you to do this right tonight. If you haven't done this before, do this. When you get home, get a piece of paper and write your name on the top of that piece of paper. And then ask yourself this question when you're all alone. What is my greatest spiritual weakness? And be honest with yourself. What is it, the sin that you find yourself going to God the most and saying, "Will you forgive me, please, still yet again?" And write down number one and write it down. And then say, okay, right after that, what's my second greatest spiritual weakness? And write it down. What's my third greatest spiritual weakness? Write it down. What's my fourth? Write it down. Fifth, write it down. You see what you're doing right now? What you're doing is you're facing the reality of who you really are. And you look at it and you go, "That's me. This is where I really am." And once you face the reality of where you really are, the next step is vitally important. Find the scriptures in the Word of God that fit those weaknesses. For instance, being angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your path, on your wrath to give place to the devil. If you struggle with your wrath, how about this one? James 1, 19. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Memorize at least 5 verses. And by the way, when you quote the verse, don't say it that fast. But when you quote the verses, give your mind time to soak it in. Don't say the words like there's some magic spell that you say the words and it's going to take care of the problem. You quote the scripture, you focus the mind on the scripture. And then you quote the next scripture and focus the mind on the scripture. And then you quote the next scripture and focus the mind on the scripture. You probably noticed that I use scriptures that deal with anger, so you may guess it's one of my top 5, kind of like top 2 maybe. Counting to 10 doesn't work. 10, kill him! No, it doesn't work. Use scriptures, the weapons God has given us, they work. They work. Quote the scripture. Focus the mind on the scripture again. What does the enemy want you to do? Does he want you calling out to God, crying out to God in prayer? Does he want you using the scriptures? No! Because he understands this is the weapon God has given us to defend ourselves. And the reason we keep losing battles, quite frankly, is because we don't use our weapons. We're solitary soldiers. We keep our sword in the sheath. We don't even put on the whole armor of God. We're standing there. Well, duh! You're going to lose. You're not fighting. You're standing there by yourself and you don't even use your weapons. That's why we keep losing the battles, brethren. I'm trying to teach you how to fight. This is the way the Lord says do it. This isn't fancier's concepts. This is the Word of God. You put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand. And the common denominator between all of these is the Word of God, and that's what you see our captain doing here. If this is what our captain had to do, the Son of God, if this is what he had to do to defend himself, who do we think that we can stand without it? It's time we start following the example of our captain and put on the whole armor of God and get to where we know our weapons. That's why you memorize the verses that fit your battles. Know yourself. And know the verses that fit you so that you can draw the sword quickly and turn them to where they are weapons to defend yourself. 1 John 2:14. "I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Whew. They overcame the wicked one. They're strong. How are they strong? The Word of God. There it is. You remember? Be strong in the Lord. The power of His might. The Word of God. And the Word of God was abiding in them. Satan doesn't want the Word of God abiding. He wants you to let it go. And the last thing is bring it up when he's tempting you. Just don't use those weapons. And you can handle it. You can handle this. You don't need to quote scripture. You don't need to call on God. You've got this. And you handguide it. He's got you. As long as we don't use the weapons, we're going to keep losing the battles. They overcame the wicked one. And that's how they did it. And quite frankly, that's the only way we can do it. If we don't go this way, we will never stand in the evil day. We will never overcome the wicked one without the weapons God has given us to fight against him. Don't you think it's time we start trusting in the weapons our God has given us and then using them? I have another scripture here that I've added to this. Ephesians 6:16, above all things, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I wanted to add this one here because, remember, the common denominator is the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. How's that? By the word of God. Romans 10. So the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How do you put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one? This is the idea. Satan is hitting you. Temptations are coming at you right and left. How do you put them out? The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Every time we hold our ground, it is with the shield of faith driving us in our actions and the word of God being used as a weapon. Let me show you some other verses on this. 1 John now, chapter 5, verse 4 through 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. In the context here, do you remember what the world is? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. How do you overcome those attacks to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life? Our faith. That's the victory that overcomes the world. So you strengthen your faith, you strengthen your hope, you strengthen your godly fear, you strengthen your love for God, because that's the gasoline that's driving the actions of a Christian. You strengthen those by going to the Word of God, reading about Christ crucified, reading about the sacrifice made for you, reading about the love of God and the love of Christ for you. Strengthen your faith and your confidence in God, and then know your weapons He's given you. Going over to 1 Timothy now, chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Lay hold on eternal life. The good fight of faith. The shield of faith. Faith is the one that gives you the victory over the world. You see, all the verses are teaching the same thing, aren't they? And faith comes from the Word of God. 1 Peter now, 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, I want you to look here what we're talking about. First, he talks about being sober, being vigilant. And then he talks about resisting him steadfast, and here's the concept again, in the faith. But he describes Satan as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to imagine something, if you will. I haven't gone far enough out of your town to know. You may not even have woods around here. But down in Arkansas, they're everywhere. Imagine you're out in the woods and you're listening to the radio. And the radio says, there's an alert. A lion has gotten away and he's in these particular woods. And you go, wait a minute, that's where I am. And so you know you're in the same woods where the lion is. How are you going to walk through those woods? All right, I've asked myself the question, answer it. That's watching. You're aware that the enemy is out there. You're aware he's hungry. You're aware he's going to attack you. He's out there. He's hunting you. And you're watching. Now, if you see the lion on the horizon, are you going to go, there he is, and run toward him? Well, no. I'm going to run the other way. You need to understand sometimes, folks, running may be the best defense. Remember Joseph? When Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he didn't say, sit down, woman, we're going to talk this out. No, he ran. Sometimes when we think of ourselves, I can work through this. No, run. What do you think the Lord means when he says, flee youthful lust, flee fornication? That is the idea. Don't think you can go up in here and handle this, because when you get close to it, thinking you can handle it, you can't handle it. And it's going to attack you, and it's going to devour you. So that's the watching concept. Realizing I got a weakness, and I'm struggling, and the enemy's after me. Here he comes again. And so here's a very simple principle of spiritual warfare. If you know the enemy is in a location, don't go there. Very simple. If you know you've lost battles in certain processes and activities in life and locations in life, such as television or iPads or smartphones or your computer, don't go there. Don't give place to the devil. You do understand the concept of giving place to the devil? You remember back the first murder? What was it God said to Cain? Sin lies at the door. Have any of you ever had a stray animal come up to your house? And you hear them scratching on the door? And you wonder, what's that noise? And you go open the door, and it's a cat. And they immediately run in the house. You ever try to catch a stray cat? Once they're in, it's going to take you hours to catch that cat. It's not a stray cat at the door. It's a lion. It's scratching on the door. It's Satan. And you open the door, you let him in, you give place to him, he's going to come in, and he's going to devour you. This is written through the Apostle Peter, where he's talking about being vigilant, being sober, being alert and watching. I can't help but believe that part of the scriptures in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, that Peter is penning, remembering when he lost the battle. I want to take you over now to Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told them, you're all going to forsake me this night. Peter said, not going to happen, not going to happen. No, I'll die with you. I will not deny you. I got a question for you. Do you think the apostles meant what they said? Well, of course. Do you think Peter meant what he said? With every fiber of his being, the last thing he ever thought he would do is deny his Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never do it. I'll die with you. They meant it, didn't they? And yet before the night was over, he was cursing. Three times he denied that he knew Jesus. Let me ask you, brethren. What happened? What happened here? What happened here, brethren, is something all of us need to understand. Because there may be times in our lives when we say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to commit that sin. I'm going to hold my ground. I'm going to stand. I'm going to resist. I got this. You ain't got it at all. And when the temptation comes, you find yourself doing a sin that you had no intentions of planning to do it. And yet when the temptation came, there you lost the battle again. I want you to see what Jesus says to them here in Matthew 26, because this is so important. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's us, brethren. We may have wonderful intentions. We want to please the Lord. We want to be the good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're going to hold our ground. We're not going to give in to the temptation. We realize we've lost it, but we're not going to do it again. Okay, good, 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 good. Now, how can we do that? You watch. You be sober. You be vigilant. And the second you see the lion, don't run to it. Run. Get out of there. Get away from it. Flee it. Don't think you can go up in the middle of it. That's what he wants us to do. Is come up in the middle of it thinking we can handle this. We're strong enough, and we're not.
We need to recognize that Satan knows our weaknesses, and that's why he keeps coming back to them. And he wants you to just think, I got this. I can do okay. Notice the next word here, watch and pray. You remember, help! Turning to God, God be with me. He's attacking me. He's here with me. And then you become strong in the Lord and the power of His might by turning to the Scriptures and pull a sword out. It's written. You put up your shield of faith. It is written. You quote the Scriptures. It is written. Use your weapons. It is written. Learn your weapons well and use them. They do you no good in the sheath. And if you just float along lightly through life, you pay no attention to the enemy, and you do not realize he's after you, he'll just keep attacking you again and again and again, and you'll keep being devoured again and again. We need to watch, and we need to pray. I find it kind of interesting, when you go back to Ephesians 6, after we talk about all these spiritual war weaponry, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. Oh, there it is. Prayer and watching. Watch and pray. Be sober, be vigilant. We have to realize the reality. It talks about standing in the evil day. I got a question for you. When is the evil day? Every day. Because a day doesn't go by that he's not going to hit you. A day doesn't go by that he's not going to attack us. And so the evil day is when the enemy is coming upon us. We've got to have the whole armor of God, because it is only with the whole armor of God that we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and have God truly with us. And it is only with the sword of the Spirit and the spiritual weaponry that God has given us that we can tear down the stronghold and stand in the evil day and resist Satan and truly be a soldier of Christ fighting the good fight of faith. You see, the war is real. And so it's time we start behaving like soldiers. The last scripture in the sermon will be yours. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I wanted to close with this particular verse. We were spending the majority of the sermon trying to talk about just how to resist. How to hold your ground, how to stand your ground. How to put out the fiery darts of the wicked one. How to overcome the wicked one. How to win the battles. Okay. Now that we spent the majority of the sermon about defense, I want to close with a whole other side of this, being a soldier of Christ. You've got to learn how to defend yourself, yes. But it's not just defense in being in the army of God. A major part of being a soldier of Jesus Christ is conquest. Conquest of the enemy's territory. We are more than conquerors. A conqueror is someone who's taking the same weapons and now getting into the territory of the enemy and bringing individuals that are under his power and his control out of darkness into the kingdom and into the light. Using the same weapons. The Word of God. Oh, brethren. Realize what we've got here. We have the Word of God Almighty, the Creator of the universe. The most powerful thing on this earth is here in my hands. This is the only thing that can defeat spiritual wickedness, Satan himself, the devil. This is the only thing that can tear down the stronghold. This is the only thing that we can use to stand in an evil day. And this is the only thing we can use to conquer territory of the enemy. And so, brethren, as the song we're about to sing says, soldiers of Christ, arise. Put your armor on. Learn how to use your weapons. Know yourself. Know your enemy. Know your allies. Know your weapons. And when we do all of this together, to where we're not solitary soldiers anymore. I've got soldiers beside me helping me fight my battles. And the more I've got around me encouraging me, praying together for one another, strengthening one another. When you've got an army around you, and you've got your weapons out, and you've got God with you, folks, you will stand. And you can resist. And then you can conquer. I thank you for your kind attention. I hope you will take this lesson, please, and put it into application in your life as a soldier of Christ. As I scan the audience, you're all Christians, okay? But if there's anybody here tonight who, when you examine yourself, you realize even right now there's sin between you and your God you haven't dealt with. Okay, recognize the reality of where you are. And how do you deal with sin? You go straight into it. As quickly as you can, you go straight into it. And you take it to God and you beg for forgiveness of it. And then you get back up. And you realize, I lost the battle again. Okay. Now I'm going to try to fight as a better soldier of Jesus Christ. I recognize the weaknesses are there. And so I'm going to do the best I can to close any avenue that I see the enemy coming through. If it's coming through your television, get rid of it. If it's coming through your computer, get rid of it. If you can't control your iPad or your smartphone, get rid of it. I tell people, if they ever see me with a flip phone, what that means is I lost the battle enough. And so I finally realized I got to get a flip phone. There's a reason I don't have a television. Because I'd go to hell if it did. I practice how to preach. But if you realize there's sin between you and your God, go straight into it, begging for forgiveness of it. And then get up and start fighting the good fight of faith. Learn to be the soldier of Christ He wants us to be. Know your weapons. Put on the armor of God. Find the verses that fit you and use them. Turn to God in prayer. Be watchful. Let brethren in. And if we will do what the Lord says do, the way He says do it, we can all stand an evil day and we will not lose battles. And not only that, we will not lose the war. And we will not lose our soul. And we will be with our King and our Captain one day. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.